Welcome to Subtle Beast, everybody. I am your host, Foltz, sitting here with my co-host, Mr. Steve Apostolopoulos. How are you, Steve?
What's up, Foltz? I'm feeling good, man.
I'm feeling good, too. In Studio 1B, ready to put out an amazing show tonight, and it feels good. It feels good. I mean,
How about that theme song?
What, our theme song?
Dude, every time I hear it, it makes me so excited. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, yeah, me too. I mean, it's just, you take the hustle and bustle from your day, you come in here, you leave all your worries at the door, and you just get to have a good old time talking about whatever it is we discuss week to week. But
talking about the summer right now, brother.
Yeah, summer's in full swing. I got all the kids home here on summer vacation, so we're having a good time. We went to the beach a couple weeks ago. That was great. And we're going to the beach again in a couple weeks. But that's really all we got going on. How about yourself?
Oh, this is the sweet spot, dude. This is, we just had the summer solstice. Today's my brother's birthday. I want to throw a shout out to my brother. Happy birthday, Nicholas.
Happy birthday, Nick.
And, last weekend we all got into inflatable pool in the backyard.
Fantastic. Well,
on the cover, Graham got Jackson a pool, and the picture on the box was of a family in the pool.
Sure.
So Jackson thought that we should all get in the pool, and you know what? We did.
And you beat the summer heat.
It was great. Beer in one hand, I had my puffer in the other hand. I was sitting in the corner of the pool and just leaning back, and I had the whole family there. So
you can't beat that.
Yeah, it was a good Saturday.
So today, I guess, is the was the longest day of the year, or was that yesterday?
Yeah, it was like one of these couple days right here. But
now we start losing a minute every day.
Yes, like it's dark at 9 something.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Crazy time, man. It's so much daylight.
I love it.
This is definitely my favorite time of the year.
Mine too. Amen to that.
I know my wife likes it a little bit later. I think September is her favorite month.
Nah, man. The beach.
I'm a summer baby.
I wasn't, but I should have been.
You do love the summer. You love crabs too.
I do. I ate a lot of crabs at the beach, and I even got some to bring home, so I was loving life. Shout out to Higgins in Ocean City, Maryland. You can get a half bushel for $55.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go to Higgins instead of the crab bag.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wanted to eat my crabs back at my house, so we sidestepped the crab bag, and I made a few calls, and I was like, whoa, Higgins, $55 for a half bushel.
I'm definitely going to be checking in. So, although the crab bag is very close to our beach house.
I was only 5 blocks from the crab bag.
Really?
Yeah.
And you still went?
Still went the other way.
And that's across the 50 bridge?
No. Higgins was, maybe 10 blocks in the other direction, but.
I think Harper's is.
Hooper's.
Hooper's, yeah. Hooper's. Yeah. Okay.
That's a great place, too.
Oh, see, that's where I was thinking. I'm glad we said that because I would have been going across the bridge and I'd have been like, Hooper's?
Nah.
I'm looking for Higgins.
I think Higgins is on like 120. No. It's the other way. So it's going up. So we were on 117th. Okay. So maybe like 100 and something. I don't know.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to check it out.
Definitely.
I could sit here and talk about eating crabs with you all night.
I know, but we might lose some people. I know you said that you came across some interesting things this past week.
I did, man. Since the last time I talked to you, I ran across an article from Stephen Hawking stating that the Earth is under threat and that humans need to leave.
Wow. So he's come to this conclusion that, now does he think now, or is he projecting that we need to get ourselves in gear for like 20 years from now or something?
It's pretty much, yeah. In the next 10 to 15 years, he thinks that we could be able to get a base set up on the moon, bring down the International Space Station, and then within 10 to 20 years from there, colonize Mars.
You know, he's talking about building a base on Mars. I mean,
building a base on the moon, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the moon. I don't know. I mean, if you've been following our podcast, I think there's already some bases up there that may not want us there.
That's true, but
That's another podcast.
Yeah, this is him saying that the Earth is under threat from so many areas that it is difficult for him to be positive which one. The threats are too big and too numerous, he says. Our physical resources are being drained at an alarming rate. We have given our planet the disastrous gift of climate change, rising temperatures, reduction of the polar ice caps, deforestation, and the decimation of animal species. He said that we can be an ignorant, unthinking lot of people.
Well, I agree with his last statement. I hear these things and I start to think, I mean, the Earth, Mother Earth as a whole, I mean, she's so... it's so adaptable that, I don't know. I mean, could global warming be, you know, what destroys the Earth? Or could, you know, the Earth adapt and just, you know, be like, you know, that's it. No more global warming. And just like freeze us all out or something like that. But I think the Earth can, but I don't know. But what we could have some fun with, though, is giving the old subtle beast top 10 of how human extinction could go.
Yes. So as the week progressed and, you know, Fultz and I kicked around the topic for this week, we started kicking around what we thought would be our top 10 for possible scenarios of a human extinction level event. And we've got them for you tonight. So check them out.
I love it. And I'm excited to get going. But I am going to let you, sir, kick us off with, we're going to go from 10 to 1. I don't want to say of the best ways that we think that humans will be extinct, but I'm saying the most probable or most interesting ways. So here we go. Number 10.
Number 10, nuclear or biological warfare.
Definitely. I definitely could see that. I mean, even though we have that as number 10, I mean, it's so probable because you see on the news constantly now about North Korea and they would love to nuke us, whether they have what it takes to even get their missile even halfway across the ocean, I don't know, but obviously the United States, Russia, and China would be the big players in this, is what I feel.
Yes, so this has been one of those, been around for a while, situations where we had the Cold War, we had World War II, which we did drop an atomic bomb at the end of it to end the war against Japan and Germany, but we dropped both of them in Japan. And then we had the Cold War against Russia, where we came very close.
And it was like seesaw effect.
Very close to hitting that, you know, they carry the briefcase, I think they call it the football or something.
Right.
And they got the two keys where you got to turn them simultaneously, and then you can hit the launch button.
Right.
The president knows the launch codes.
Has them in his pocket at all times.
So that's kind of like... that's one of those ones where it's actually pretty possible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what started the whole conflict, Cold War. Maybe it started with, like, the space race and, you know, just went from there. You know, I can recall, you know, the bringing down of the wall in Berlin and things like that, but... you know, I don't know, but that was you know, when I look back, I mean, we were just kids at the time, but you know, if you look back through history, I mean, that was a time where people were really, there was a lot of money being invested in like bunkers, underground bunkers, and there was a lot of prepping going on because people really felt that someone was going to hit the button and then the other one was just going to retaliate. I mean, there was movies out, they had like Spies Like Us talking about that. And there was like movies like War Games in the 80s. So, I mean, yeah, it was on everybody's radar, no pun intended.
That rhetoric, I think from being like an 80s baby, you know, I was born in 77. And I've looked through my baby pictures and up until, you know, I was three, it was the 70s. And it did look like the 70s in those pictures.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Without question.
You look at that 70s show and the... all of the stereotypical things that carried on from the 70s, actually, like, that's what everybody had, their shag carpets and,
oh yeah,
gaudy clothing and platform shoes. But then, you know, we develop into the 80s, and I think that nuclear threat was huge in the media during the 80s.
Definitely was, because Ronald Reagan, everyone calling him Ronnie Reagan because he wasn't taking anybody's, mess, and he wasn't messing around with, the Russian premier over there, Gorbachev.
Oh, man, remember he had the thing on his head?
Yeah, that big mark.
Yeah, Gorbachev was like, everybody knew his name growing up. Like.
Oh, yeah. And then there was this actor that portrayed him in Rocky IV, looked exactly like him. It was incredible. Couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my gosh, they got the Russian premiere to do Rocky IV. But so that nuclear war and biological warfare, I mean, we've given, what we remember and such, but what are, some of the, scientists and those that are actually putting some thought behind it? What do they have to say? Are they giving any, or what they think would happen, or just basically outlining, saying, look, if there was a nuclear war and biological warfare, that we're just toast. It's just the annihilation of the humankind.
Right. I mean, to me, it looks like if there's a nuclear fallout that's big enough, it could just annihilate human life. I mean, every aspect of life. It could just annihilate life in general, but it could be one of those situations where certain life forms live and humans just aren't able to live or live any longer. Like maybe we can't reproduce and it's kind of apocalyptical where, we're living on, but in a different level. But it could definitely create a human extinction level.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would have to think that it would come in like different phases. There would be, those that were wiped out from the immediate blast, kind of like in a Terminator when everything's just being leveled. And the people that are left over, because there's going to be massive dust in the air blocking out the sun. So there's going to be people that are, for years having to adapt in complete darkness, and there's going to be radiation that's killing people over time, and there's going to be fights over fresh water and food, and so then people that have lived that long, then they're going to start fighting each other and killing each other, and you launch a nuclear missile, and it's over.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's retaliation. So if you launch, whoever you're launching it at, they're throwing one back at you. And then there's probably going to be some other countries getting involved. There's going to be a whole lot of nuclear fallout at one time. And it could be at the level where humans would not be able to.
Well, sure, because, everyone, if you say about a nuclear war, you're picturing shooting like this missile. But in the reality, it's like launching like 20. Like they go on DEFCON 5. And because we have silos here in the U.S. all over the place. We're launching like 20, and then they're going to launch 20, and everyone's hoping. I hope they collide up there in space. But yeah, I mean, that would definitely be scary knowing that, you have like 40 minutes left of being alive.
Yes, that reminds me of Spies Like Us. The last part of it.
Yeah.
Fitzhugh.
Yeah, Fitzhugh, boy. You got a tent? But, so I'm going to break down what number 9 is on our list. And we have it just listed as a pandemic, involving one or more viruses or antibiotic resistant bacteria. There's been past examples, which included the Spanish flu outbreak, 1918. And various European viruses that just decimated the indigenous American populations. There was a deadly pandemic restricted to humans alone. Oh, no. If a deadly pandemic was restricted to humans alone, would be self-limiting, as its mortality would just reduce the density of its target population. A pathogen with a broad host range and multiple species, however, could eventually reach even isolated human populations. And when using animals as carriers, for an example, or if left unchecked, is technically feasible, and that the technical obstacles are trivial. But however, scientists and you know, all the other people working and investigating this, they're pretty confident that in practice, countries would be able to recognize and intervene effectively to halt the spread of such a microbe or, you know, disease to prevent the human extinction. But it begs to wonder, I mean, well, how many people? I mean, is it going to be to the effect that you walk outside your house and you're typically seeing, you know, interacting or passing thousands of people every day on your commute or this and that, to maybe you're like, I saw four people today.
Yeah. What was the one with Will Smith? He listens to the Bob Marley reggae where he's the last.
Oh, right.
He's the last guy on. He thinks he's the last guy in the world.
Yeah. And it's like that zombie apocalypse. But that was
a pandemic.
Yeah, he was immune to it. Oh, I can't believe that movie slipped my mind because I've just watched it recently.
And so he's a doctor and he's going into the lab every day and he's going to try to create an antidote so that he can deliver it to the masses and turn everyone back from the zombie state that they're in into normal human beings again. And he finds a woman and a child. And then they all kind of go to...
Well, not Will Smith, because he dies.
Oh, yeah. He
dove. I Am Legend.
I Am Legend. That was a great one, man.
It was. He did a phenomenal. But, I mean, you have to think about something like... I mean, if there was a huge pandemic and... I mean, I think they did it brilliantly in the movie because, you know, the military was shot missiles and took out bridges in New York City so people couldn't cross over, and they're just going to do whatever it takes to control this thing. And it was just wild to see him walking through like an abandoned New York. He was hunting deer,
yeah,
right in the middle of New York City, and you know, you could just slowly start to see him cracking from not having any other human interaction. As a matter of fact, in the one scene, he was begging the mannequin to please say hello to him. And he had his only companion was his dog, who he had to end up strangling out because his dog saved him from the pandemic that affected the other dogs. And
yeah, that was a fantastic representation of what a pandemic could do.
Right. And I can remember like around that time when that movie first came out, I was so intrigued by the whole concept that I was looking into pandemics. And I came across an article that was some journalist did with some, you know, big shots at the CDC. And they actually discussed that movie and other movies like World War Z with Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
And these head honchos at the CDC said that those movies are more accurate than people watching movies give it credit, that those type of things could actually happen. Because and they were given examples like if you remember a few years back, I don't know if it's still popular now, but people were buying like synthetic marijuana and they were doing that synthetic cocaine bath salts.
Yes.
But people were doing those bath salts and almost like eating people and things like that. And that was just a side effect from crazy chemicals. Imagine what a huge virus or bacteria that infected you that you don't recover from or doesn't wear off of, what the effects are that they could have on humans. And it'd just be a scary time, I think.
I think that there is, you know, history repeats itself. And one of the glaring examples of a pandemic is the plague, the Black Death.
Right, sure.
The Black Death was one of the most devastating pandemics in human history, resulting in the deaths of an estimated 75 to 200 million people in Eurasia and peaking in Europe in the years 1346 to 1353. So back in the 1300s, for 200 million people to get killed, that was a huge number.
Definitely. And also like during biblical times when people had leprosy and they would keep those people separated because, you know, their body parts were just falling off and flesh off of their body and they just looked like monsters. They were like separating them on like their own, in their own colonies, and people wouldn't go and see them because, you know, if you touched them, then you had leprosy. I mean, I don't know if it was quite to that extent, but if they were separating them, they weren't taking any chances.
Right. And they treated you like a leper.
Yeah. I mean, those people with leprosy were treated like lepers. That's for sure.
That's where that came from.
That's yeah, exactly right. So
that's a possible scenario.
Definitely.
Another one would be, and this is number eight.
Eight.
Population decline. And okay. That could happen through sterility. So if the climate change or if something happened on Earth that created sterility among people, that could lead, I mean, obviously, if we can't have babies, then, you know, 50 years down the line or 100 years down the line, there isn't going to be anyone here.
Right. And that would be a really scary way to see it declining would be, okay, nobody can get pregnant anymore. And you're starting to see this older generation die off because, I mean, it would basically be like if that happened now, like our children would be the last. And, you know, for them to see their parents perish and then they know that nothing's carrying on after them. I mean, it could be scary. I think that could almost happen too without maybe any interference, just a population decline through a preference of people not even wanting children anymore or something like that, or who knows?
Well, yeah, I mean, if conditions on the Earth got so bad, there could be a conscious point where everyone just decided that it's best if they didn't have a baby born into this world.
Yeah, like any type of like war scenario, maybe that, you know, like every country's being invaded at like one time by somebody. And, you know, it's not just like certain men and women going off to fight, but everybody's fighting like on their own country. I mean, you're going to wonder, you know, is there going to be any time for, you know, funsies?
Right. And, like, how are you going to have, you know, babies in a situation like that?
Right.
Or who would want to have babies? Although it does remind me of the old, the Jurassic Park, it's like a scene in the movie where the guy that creates the whole thing says, life will find a way.
Yeah, nature will find a way, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, unless it's a actual, like, I can never imagine that everybody would want to not have babies.
Right.
But it could eventually get to a point where the human race became sterile because of, conditions of the Earth.
Right. And but you know what, and but that's a really powerful line in that movie, that nature will find a way, because there are, I mean, living creatures on this planet that are asexual, and the female breed becomes pregnant without any interaction, or I guess if you could call them female, I mean, if they're asexual, I don't know, but
right, they reproduce.
Yeah, they just get pregnant somehow, or it's crazy.
Life will find a way.
It makes me think of like seahorses. The fact that the men seahorse or the male seahorse carries the babies, and it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I've seen video of those guys shooting babies out.
Yeah, I mean, it's don't be getting ready to eat anytime soon because it can be disturbing. But yeah, it's interesting. But let's see. Do we have anything else we want to comment on population decline, or are we ready to move on here to number seven?
Let's check out number seven.
All right. For number seven, we have geological or cosmological interference, basically, to say the least. So where that would fall would be stating that a geological or cosmological disaster, such as an impact event of a near Earth object, or even hitting Earth, who knows, or a lethal gamma ray burst in part of the Milky Way, or a supervolcanic eruption, or a natural long-term climate change near Earth objects. They serve as definitely an absolute threat to the survival of the living species, and even small events can result in substantial amount of local and regional damage. But it's pretty crazy to think so. I mean, I guess basically it would be like, if some star within the Milky Way galaxy like burned out like a supernova, I guess, and exploded, that there could be some damaging effects to the Earth because even our atmosphere couldn't protect us, or if a giant comet or something of that nature is coming at us.
Yes, man. I always try to shy away from comparing everything to a movie, but man, Armageddon,
great movie.
Asteroid coming right at the Earth, and how are what are we doing that it makes us prepared for something of that nature?
Right.
There's not much that you can do. I mean,
no.
They were going up to drill a hole in the asteroid to put nuclear bombs down in it and blow it apart.
Right. And the asteroid was like the size of Texas or something like that. So, I mean, something like that hits the Earth. There was another one out that came out like right around the same time, but there was two comets.
Deep Impact.
And yeah. One of them actually did hit, but it was the smaller of the two because the astronauts ended up giving their lives. They didn't get to detonate the rockets, but they decided to just fly into it and
Knock it off course.
Yeah, and get some schools named after him or something. But but it did a lot of damage. I mean, the one that did hit, I mean, it sent water in like as far as like Ohio. I mean, typical research shows that if an asteroid hit somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean, that our eastern seaboard would be non-existent anymore. And they said that, water would come in as far as Ohio, if not further, and it would just, until it receded, it would just change. I mean, and there'd be nobody could live. I mean, tidal waves coming in at over 1,000 feet and rushing in. But one interesting thing that I just recently saw that scientists have developed, it was yesterday, they've developed, if they know a tsunami is coming, they've come up with this like electromagnetic pulse. And if they shoot that at either the receding water or the tidal wave itself, that they can actually stop it in its tracks from destroying. But I mean, it's one of those things that not too many people can predict. I mean, if you can remember, what was it, Christmas 2004, that horrible tsunami that took the lives of a lot of people in, I think, Sri Lanka or something like that. Was it Sri Lanka? I think. But so that would be really scary. I mean, that'd be...
Yeah, I would think that it would cause a shift in the tectonic plates.
Definitely.
And I think that that could cause a chain reaction that would maybe set off the big one. California could dip into the Pacific. I mean, if we're getting hit by an asteroid, there's a lot of things that would happen.
Well, it could have the Earth not rotating on its axis properly anymore. What if it knocked us out of,
around the sun, the orbit around the sun.
Yeah, I mean, then we're just drifting through that. We would freeze to death. Absolutely. Or if our own sun, became old enough that it just exploded. I mean, that would just evaporate the Earth instantly.
Yeah, if I have that coming up.
Okay.
I have that coming up.
All right. So we won't dive too big into that one.
Yeah, we're on if an asteroid hit the Earth.
Yeah, I mean, there's just if an asteroid hit the Earth, I watched a documentary in length about that, and it went through from the time that they detected it to the time, and they said they weren't even going to warn people because there was all it would do is just cause panic and there's nowhere to hide, but they covered it perfectly from the impact to like 2 years after the impact. And it was just, if you happen to have been in a cave or somewhere that you weren't killed instantly by the blast or by radiation, and then just looking for food, they were just showing people like catching rats and eating them, and just something as basic as clean water, people were killing each other over. So eventually, if you weren't killed by the blast or the fallout, you're going to die of starvation or thirst or something. But of course, it all be traced back to the meteorite hitting the Earth. So
right. It could also make volcanoes explode.
Yeah.
Because of the impact pushing down on the magma.
Yeah.
In the liquid core of the Earth, it could cause a super volcano to go off. And if that were to happen, it could erupt for several weeks or months.
Yeah, there's active volcanoes right now in Hawaii, but on Oahu, there's a volcano that's been dormant for 250,000 years, but it's called Diamond Head. I mean, it's humongous. So if that was to happen and that erupted, I mean, everybody on that island would just be either covered in ash or, you know, burned to death. And what a horrible way.
The super volcano that I was looking at is called Yellowstone Caldera, or there are others that are yet unknown. And the dust would spew out and block the sun for years. If it was going to erupt for months, then it would cause a dust cloud that could block the sun out for you. And if the sun was blocked out for years, then all plant and animal life would die, and the human life would just follow along with it.
Yeah, I believe in the documentary I was watching that it said if something like a meteor or any type of volcanic ash blocked out the sun, that all plant and animal life would be gone in 3 weeks.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's how sensitive we are.
Yep. I mean, if you have plants, like we have lots of vegetable plants that we grow on our deck, and it's crazy. I mean, as soon as the sun comes out, you can see them just leaning towards it. So, I mean, that's their lifeline, that and water. And you take away those two things and, you know, it would just be, and just not to mention the disease though, because, you know, people would just be dying and animals would just be dying where they stand. I mean, everything, water would be polluted and just ashy and terrible thoughts.
Yeah. That, but it is something that could happen.
It definitely is. I mean, who knows? I mean, the fact that the Earth hasn't been hit by something like that since the time of the dinosaurs is actually pretty miraculous. If you think about the size of space and, you know, we're just floating around here. I mean, there's asteroids probably bigger than the Earth. I mean, it would just take us out in one quick swoop. But the fact that it hasn't happened, I mean, that's got to be divine, but crazy.
Would you want to know?
I don't think so.
I don't think I would either. I was just thinking that same thing.
I don't think so because I would be in such a panic and I wouldn't want my children to be afraid. And because, I mean, just think about those final, you'd just be like huddled.
Yeah, freaking out.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, you'd be on the couch just like hugging your loved ones and just being like, goodbye. I mean, as scary as it would be for adults, imagine, you know, children ages from, you know, 2 to 10, and they'd be freaking out.
Yeah, that would be. I wouldn't want anybody to know either. I would want the scientists to keep it under wraps. You know, you'd be having your day, and then all of a sudden it would get dark. And
yeah, because, I mean, that falls under, do you want to know the day that you die? Well, absolutely not. You'd be, every day you'd be like, oh my gosh, I only have these many more days left.
Yeah, it would make planning way easier. Planning for retirement.
Oh, yeah. But like, I'm retired now. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that. I think we covered that one pretty well.
Yeah. The number 6 is
dun, dun, dun.
Global warming.
Oh, this one.
Human-induced changes to the atmosphere's composition may render Earth uninhabitable for humans. Global warming is something that has come to light in the recent decades and doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
No, it doesn't. And I don't like the way that they try and push it off on, all like day-to-day people saying, oh, well, it's because of the carbon footprint and everyone's driving cars and it's this, that, and the other. Well, we're too much technology and this, that, and the other thing. But it's like, you know what? I turn around and I just point the finger right at our government, because if that's what's causing the global warming, okay, well, then stop suppressing a lot of technologies that we know that you have, like that have actually come to light. The people that have invented cars that run on water, so all that's coming out of that is vapor. So I don't like the fact that they try and, you know, smack us in the face daily saying, oh, well, everybody's responsible for global warming. Well, give us another option then. Stop being, wanting to make trillions of dollars every year. Do you want to make trillions of dollars or do you want to save the planet? I mean, you can't have both.
They just want the oil fields to continue to pump every day. You keep pumping it, we'll keep burning it. And fossil fuels, we burn fossil fuels. And obviously, if you continue to burn fossil fuels, it's going to raise the temperature of the earth.
Yep.
We're just burning everything that we have.
Yeah, I think the temperature of the earth within the last 30 years has risen, I think, about 3 degrees.
Which is huge.
Oh, that's huge. Oh, absolutely.
And you can see it in the conditions. And it's not that every summer is way hotter than all the other summers, or that every winter is way colder. It's that there is no, it's not a sustained season.
Right.
Like, in every season, there is the possibility of some new wild storm. Like, when I was a kid, they didn't have a polar vortex.
Right.
But in the last 10 years, there was a point in time where we had a polar vortex where the air from the polar caps of the Earth was forced down, you know, into North America and created huge drops in temperature.
Yeah.
We never had that. We didn't have earthquakes in Pennsylvania.
No.
We didn't have hurricanes in Pennsylvania. We didn't have tornadoes in Pennsylvania.
Right.
And now all of those things are occurring. We had massive flooding within the last 5 years in Pennsylvania.
Well, we had a humongous tornado warning just the other day.
Right.
I was watching the news.
And that was for real.
And yeah, and the people on the news were saying, go into your basement, grab mattresses, and put helmets over your head. I was like, oh my gosh, this
is crazy.
There
was a tornado that touched down in Dillsburg.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is really amazing, but... You know, I'm going to stick to my guns and just say, hey, we're only playing with the cards that we're dealt. So if they want to point a finger, they can point it in the mirror, because it's really not our fault.
I'll throw a little science in here. Carbon dioxide is toxic at high concentrations, causing death by respiratory acidosis, which is the acidification of the blood. And lifelong exposure to even the moderately elevated concentrations projected to occur during the 21st century could cause chronic physical and mental health conditions in all humans.
Well, sure. I mean, if you take the Earth and you scale it down to the size of a garage, well, I mean, people commit suicide that way. They block up the airways, they turn on their car and that carbon monoxide, and then they go to sleep and they're dead. So take that times how many millions of vehicles are out there, and plus the nuclear power plants, and it's just like we got to find a different way. And I firmly believe other ways have been discovered, and they're just being suppressed, and it's just not fair.
So there's a limit, you know, that human survival can occur at. We don't know what the upper limit of global warming, the survival rate is right now, but the upper limit above which human survival and reproduction would be, you know, impossible to find, it's still unknown. But there's another reason right there for sterility. If global warming continued, and I'm not saying that there's a swing in like a summertime temperature, like where, oh, well, it's gotten this hot and now we can't reproduce. I'm saying that as an entire sustained planet,
right?
If the temperature continues to rise, even just a few degrees, that there could be changes in ecosystems and certain bacteria that could grow now that couldn't grow before, or things that could create a pandemic, or that could stop the reproduction of humanity because of the change in climate, that these things could happen. And we don't know what's going to happen because of global warming.
Well, yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, think about the polar ice caps in the North and South Pole. If they would start to melt, who knows what type of bacteria is locked in between, you know, miles and miles of ice, and that turns into water and then just starts rushing over land. Yeah, that could then take global warming and take it right back to pandemic, and then, you know, population decline and everything would follow suit from there. So
And it's one of those things that could be a slippery slope. Just because we haven't had the polar ice caps melting so far doesn't mean that that couldn't change within a short amount of time. If we have a few degrees now and we keep adding to that, within a five-year period, you could have a total meltdown of the polar caps, which would create havoc.
Right. Some scientists have said that we've crossed the threshold of the point of no return, that even at, you know, the 3 degrees, that no, some say that no matter what we would do at this point, we've done so much damage that I know what you're going for, but it wouldn't fix itself is what it basically. But you know what I mean, the Earth is a spectacular place. I mean, but who knows what could happen if the Earth could repair itself or what. But I mean, because, you know, granted, just because scientists are saying this, you know, it's theoretical. I think, I mean, I don't think anything's been proven beyond the shadow of a doubt as far as global warming.
So do you think that global warming is occurring?
You know what? See, I don't know, because when they say global warming, it's like, then if you were to ask me during this past winter, I would have been like, well, yeah, I mean, it was a really mild winter where we lived. And at the beginning of the summer season during May and June here, it was really cold. There was days I had jackets on in late May and like the first week of June. So I don't know. I mean, it's tough. It's tough when you use the word warming and then times that are supposed to be warm are cold. And it's like, I don't know. It baffles me. I don't fully understand it. So, you know, I mean, I'd have to plead ignorance in some cases. But I don't think that it's to the point that, you know, our elected officials are saying it is.
It seems erratic to me. It seems like the weather has gotten erratic. And it seems like the seasons have shifted as far as the calendar goes. To me, it seems like summer is starting later.
Yes.
Lasting longer. The spring and fall have been shorter, and that the winters have been long.
Yeah, I agree. And it's like, how are the winters longer and if the Earth is warming? But
I think maybe it's not that they're longer. I think that they just don't start. Because remember when we were kids and it would snow before Christmas?
Oh, sure.
It's not really been doing like the Thanksgiving snow lately.
No, I mean, you look at these kids that are in school today. I mean, they're sporting shorts through September and October. And I mean, when I was a kid, when it was back to school, I mean, it was like maybe you had a week of shorts and then it was like, oh, it's getting too chilly out. And
yeah, I remember the seasons changing at a much earlier time in the calendar.
And now, especially where we live in Pennsylvania, it seems like there's two. Winter, summer, end.
Yeah, 2 weeks of spring,
Of fall. Yeah, if that, and if it's not raining. But yeah, it's crazy because May this year seemed a lot like what April would be in the past. I mean, May just torrential downpours, and it was really depressing.
It was a rainy May this year.
It was, but so I don't know. I don't know. Some scientists have even said that due to global warming, that where we live here in Pennsylvania will soon, well, not soon, but like in the next 100 years, would be like the weather of Southern Georgia and Florida, and that the New England states would then adopt like Pennsylvania weather, and it would just gradually go till, I guess, every place is just like tropics or something.
Dude, I've never heard that. That's
yeah, it's pretty interesting.
It is, because New England was always known for those cold winters.
Oh yeah,
cold winters off the Cape. And now Pennsylvania used to be known for the four seasons, you know, equal seasons, and it doesn't seem like it is that way anymore.
Definitely does not.
You want me to take number five as well?
And yeah, then, I think so.
And then you could hit up number four, because I'm looking at our list here, and I think you're going to be great for number four. Number five is a solar flare, and this is one we just touched on a little earlier, but we actually had a solar storm in 2014 that I remember pretty well, and it disrupted cell phone use. And it was a weird thing. Like, I guess one of the leading carriers got so many calls in one day, and this was a storm that had been predicted. So there was knowledge, previous knowledge of the storm. So when these people were calling into this major mobile carrier, they were telling them, your cell phone is being disrupted because of the solar storm that's occurring.
Wow, that's crazy.
And it was a reoccurring theme that whole day. I heard people saying, man, I had dropped calls. You know, I haven't been able to make cell phone calls today. And it even said on the news that night, like, solar flares today, a solar storm disrupted use of cell phones. So that is something that is definitely a possibility.
Now, was it across the board, or was it just affecting like this one major carrier?
I don't know if it affected more than one carrier. I think that I knew about it because
Had that?
I think our business used the carrier, and people, like, the, you know, out of 100 people, like, a lot, more than half of them was being affected on that carrier.
That's crazy. I don't recall that, but you know, I'm sure it happened.
So here, in about a billion years from now.
Oh, no.
I know, man.
I'm nervous.
There was, well, I figured by that time there'll be tons of apostolopolises out there.
No, the world have been overtaken with apostolopolises.
Apostolopolises and Foltzes just everywhere.
Yep.
The sun's brightness may increase as a result of a shortage of hydrogen, and the heating of its outer layers may cause the Earth's oceans to evaporate, leaving only minor forms of life. Well before this time, the level of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere will be too low to support plant life, destroying the foundation of the food chain. About 7 to 8 billion years from now, if and after the sun has become a red giant, the Earth will probably be engulfed by its expanding sun and destroyed.
That's major.
Well, it's 8 billion years from now.
It is, but there's a lot of research done that states that the planet Mars used to be very similar to the planet Earth, and who knows what happened there. I mean, there's theories from a gigantic meteorite hitting, or just their atmosphere being decimated and all the oceans there dried up, because they do have a lot of lake beds and ocean beds there that obviously are not there anymore. But I mean, they have found ice on Mars, so where there's ice, there must be water. So I mean, there's remnants there.
Yeah, they've got that red crusty that's how it looks when you see the pictures from the lunar
rover.
Yeah, that it all kind of is just that red, like, rocky crusty like exo atmosphere there. But that makes perfect sense. If it would have gotten hit by a meteor and stripped down to its rocky core, that makes total sense to me.
And there's no real atmosphere. So they're saying that if and when we go to Mars, that even with the protective spacesuits on, that the astronauts have to limit their time outdoors because the radiation is so great that the chances of them developing cancer are, like, so high that, I don't know, they better come up with some different type of suit for these people to wear.
Well, this is what we need to do. We need to get plant life growing up there. But we'd have to do it, like, at one, like Big Bang Theory. Like, we'd have to get, like, a whole lot of plant life growing
at
one
time. It's called terraforming, yeah. And what they need to do is you start with plant life, and then that plant life, hopefully, we'll, if you introduce some type of animal life to it, and then it slowly starts to change the atmosphere, and that scientists think that it would take from seed to changing the atmosphere, it'd be about 100 years to terraform Mars.
That's not a lot of time.
That's not. That's really not.
Years is really
to
not
change
a lot of time.
An entire planet in the way that life can possibly exist, that's pretty good.
Right. Yeah, I'm in on that one.
I am too. I'm hoping I'm around to see it.
Well, we've said it on this podcast. If you're going to live for the next 30 years, you'll live for the next 100 years.
That's true. That's true. Because the
medical science,
the person to live to 150 has already been born.
I love that one.
Yeah. All right. So you wanted me to take this next one. We're coming in at number four, and number four is basically going to come across as we're just getting so technological, and the creators of a super intelligent entity could inadvertently give it goals like an AI, artificial intelligent, give it goals that lead it to annihilate the human race. Kind of like going back to Terminator once again. They started with these machines, and the machines got smarter. And I mean, they are creating AIs right now that are learning on a daily basis. And if these machines start to believe, even on the lowest level, that they are conscious and they know that they can outsmart us and they know we're destroying one another, they might be like, well, let's just get rid of these people. So, I mean, it has become a large concern, because anytime the topic of AI any type of super robot that's being developed right now as we speak, when the creators are asked about it, even they don't know and they're worried. They say, well, we have to have some type of protocol ready to go, but they haven't developed it. I think it should have been the other way around. You need to come up with a protocol in order for these things to not dominate the human race, and then you invent the artificial intelligence. That's like, I don't know. It's just backwards. I don't get it. But, I mean, we can you can take it so many different steps. I just think it's a scary fact because of how much we rely on computers today, that if and when these things decide they want to turn on us and just all link up, there's nothing we could do.
No, I think that there is a chance that the machines could take us out, but I think sure. that there is a better chance that we could form hybrid human machines, and that's the way that we would then become more machine than man.
Yes,
you get to enhance, if you can enhance biceps with machines instead
Darth
of
Darth Vader
instead of muscles, or if you had fighting, if you were using military applications, and you could create a suit that was more machine than man, I think that is kind of more possible than just a straight takeover by the machines. But, IBM is working on Watson. Watson played against other Jeopardy contestants and beat some that he was beaten, or he or she, Watson, whatever, was beaten by a human being. But there is artificial intelligence now that is competing on the same level of consciousness as human beings are currently.
Well, yeah, because a Watson has been detecting cancer in patients from doctors that doctors have been missing, just because Watson can read everything that's been put out by any medical professional on cancer and read it all in like minutes time. And this one doctor was saying, there's millions of pages a day being uploaded to the internet on the treatment of cancer, and Watson can read them all almost instantaneously. And somebody who is not even showing signs of cancer yet, it's detecting it in their blood, and it's saving their lives. But that's on the good side. But yeah, I tend to agree with you that it would start off as an evolution, if you will,
right?
As
augmentation.
Yeah, because they're working on these microchips now that they say that if they put them into your brain, that it can enhance your intelligence. Well, regardless of what somebody creates, it can be either used for good or bad. And if someone's got, an evil twist to them and they get this enhancement, well, they could start a revolution. Who knows?
Right. If we're using microprocessors in our cell phones and they're all attached to Google, then they're, I mean, it's not very long before those microprocessors are just going to be right in our head.
Agreed.
And then we're just going to be using Google. And then you would get a virus. It, instead of being a bacteria, it'd be like a computer virus.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd be like, oh, what's going on with Foltz? He's glitching, man. He's got a virus.
Yeah, he's down. He's he's going to need to reboot.
Yeah, we got to reboot Foltz.
Yeah. Now, number four was AI, but number three really goes hand in hand with it as well. And it's basically uncontrolled nanotechnology. If you have listened to the to our podcast where we covered that, you'll be familiar with the term gray goo. And they're saying that with uncontrolled nanotechnology, gray goo incidents resulting in the destruction of the Earth's ecosystem. So, I mean, that goes without even having to, you know, go too deep into it. I mean, if you have gray goo and it destroys the Earth's ecosystem, game over.
Well, yeah, there's a similar concept to that I was reading about that said, you know, humans continually invent new things. And say we invent a device or a substance that would be used to clean up an oil spill. And, you know, we have an oil tanker that has spilled its oil out and it's in the Atlantic or one of the great oceans that we have. And we disperse this substance to
eradicate,
suck up all the oil or do whatever it does to dissolve all the oil, but for some reason it doesn't stop there and it just continues to dissolve things inside the ocean, and it ends up just polluting and destroying the entire ocean and all the life inside of it and destroying the ecosystem. We could easily come up with a chemical that we don't understand and that we release into the wild and it just backfires on us and we end up destroying the environment ourselves.
And also that the materials that they're using to clean that up would form types of molds and all kinds of different bacteria, like you said, and then it looks like then we're facing a pandemic.
Right. It just covers the whole earth.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of these go hand in hand. I mean,
right.
You could trace them back to one another. I mean, obviously, except for a nuclear war, I mean, we can prevent that. It's just that these other ones, we think, oh, we have these great ideas. Let's just do it without anybody really thinking about the repercussions. And before you know it, human existence was a thing of the past.
This next one, man, is one that's close to my heart. One of my favorite authors, Dan Brown, has done some extensive research on this one, and I love reading his books. And they've since I've read his books, turned them into movies, and Tom Hanks plays the roles on them. And this one's great. It's the creation of a micro black hole on Earth during the course of a scientific experiment or other unlikely scientific accidents in high-energy physics research, such as vacuum phase transition or strangulate incidents. There were worries concerning the Large Hadron Collider at CERN, as it was feared that the collision of protons at a speed near the speed of light will result in the creation of a black hole and, coincidentally, the release of black matter by creating the God particle.
Yeah, the God particle and then having dark matter. But yeah, and they're saying that the release, because they're able to create dark matter now, but they're saying that it's on such a small scale that if they would just keep moving at the pace that they are now, that like, I don't know, something crazy, like in 30 years from now, they would still only have like a quarter of a gram of dark matter. But they said that dark matter is so powerful that even if they what they have at CERN in the Hadron Collider, if that dark matter was to be released, that it could rip holes in the fabric of time. It could open up different dimensions to lots of evil beings or you know spirits or things of that nature, and it's really scary to think that, because I mean all these things were built by humans, so there's obviously got to be some type of human error. And when you're dealing with CERN, I mean, I'm sure they already have Mandela effect, but you know, it's a really scary thing that what they're messing with right now. And I mean, even to call it the God particle, they know that they're messing with the entire world.
Right. They're messing with some power that is yet been we don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, and it's not something that they can just shut this down now, because if they would just shut it down, well, you've heard us talk about CERN and you know, some of our theories on what's happened there. If you haven't, go check out the podcasts on the Mandela effect and such. But yeah, it's pretty scary when you start talking about dark matter. I mean, you wouldn't call it dark matter unless it was something scary. I mean, or something powerful, or something that you need to contain.
Right. It would open up, open up a micro black hole.
Right.
Like, we're using things right now that we just don't even understand. It could just open, the dark matter could just tear us apart.
And if you start with a micro black hole, the way that the black hole quote unquote feeds itself by just absorbing everything and expanding its dense gravity, I mean, that micro black hole is going to eventually grow, and it's going to engulf the Earth, and for long it engulfed the entire Milky Way, and it's just gonna keep going. I watched a documentary on what would happen if a black hole started traveling through and approaching Earth, and they broke it down to when it would be a month out and things that would be happening to the Earth all the way up until we finally crossed into the singularity, and then the Earth is just ripped to shreds from the dense gravity. And here we have folks trying to create things like this. It's just like, come on, we got to shut this down.
Right. We don't understand the power that we have.
We don't. But having said that, we've got to number one.
Number one.
And you really didn't think that Subtle Beast was going to come all the way through this list and not bring up the extinction of humankind by alien invasion.
Of course we are.
Of course we're going to cover that, because the fact that not only do we here at Subtle Beast believe in all types of alien life forms and the fact that they've already been here and all that, basically, if there is a advanced technological race that can interstellar travel to Earth and they declare war on us, it is set, match, game over.
It's lights out. And I love the word militarily superior extraterrestrials.
Yeah.
I mean, if their race is militarily superior to our race, there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's professionals at SETI that have given this some serious consideration, and they say that the possibility of this happening sometime is extremely likely.
Right.
Because you got to think, I mean, what, mankind's been around for like a blink of an eye here on this planet. They said that if you were to take mankind and take it from the entire existence and put it into 1 hour, that mankind has been here for less than a second. And you think about the vastness of space and the possibility of other races and intelligent entities out there that are far superior to us. And you know what? I actually do think that if aliens were to come and invade the Earth and to wipe out mankind, it isn't because they necessarily hate us. They hate what we've done to the Earth. And once again, referencing a movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still. Great movie, but the aliens come, and when they're asked, are you a friend of ours? They say, we're a friend of the Earth. And then they say, are you here to hurt us or save us? And they just reply with, we're here to save the Earth. And they said, well, we can change. And they said, we've been watching you for some time, and we've given you that opportunity in hopes that you would, but it's too late and we got to save the Earth. And they had like all these, the advanced technology that they had for just like these, they were like these little globes of light that they were used as arcs. And they got all the animals in and they took them up into the atmosphere off the planet Earth. And they started the destruction of the human race just by, with nanotechnology, with these little like microscopic insects that they were mechanical, obviously, but they were going across the Earth and they were just devouring everything in its path. And with every time, with everything that they ate, the swarm just got bigger and bigger. And wow, I love that movie. But that's what I think. I mean, if we're going to be wiped out, it's because the Earth doesn't necessarily belong to us. And that was even quoted in the movie. Somebody said, "What are you doing here on our planet?" And Keanu Reeves' character looks at her and goes, "Your planet." And it's just like a whoa moment.
Right. Just because humanity developed on Earth doesn't mean that we own the Earth.
Exactly. And, you know, I firmly believe that, you know, I'm sure with you know, these entities that are far smarter than us, that they're going to monitor the Earth and they're not going to let us go too much further in the destruction before they're going to shut it down. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I tend to believe that's why we haven't been. I believe we have the technology for interstellar travel, and I just don't think that we have the permission to do so, to be quite honest with you.
I think we have a long way to go. And just to bring it around back to the beginning and that Stephen Hawking article, I do think that it's time that we start to move our race off of the Earth to prove if there is, you know, a way to prove it to another race or another level of consciousness that we are evolving. We are ready. We are willing to go out of our original realm and start to colonize Mars and have the base on the moon. And then we can kind of take a look back at ourselves and say, man, you know, from Mars looking down at Earth, stop doing the things that you're doing. Stop the pollution. We're trying so hard to launch this colony and to get Mars up and running, but we have a perfectly good world already set up and running. We just need to take care of it.
Right. And that's the whole thing. Like, not just going to colonize Mars because we've screwed up our planet, but just as something to do as a race to show what we can do and how advanced that we have become. And I mean, I don't know what the size of Mars is, but if we destroy this planet, I don't know that we're going to have enough to get everybody off this planet. There might be like a lottery system, and if you want to go, you can go. But, you know, I hope it doesn't come to that. But I do want to see us colonize Mars, and I do want to see us have some bases on the moon, not military bases, but, you know, bases where, you know, there's some good studies being done on, you know, and plant life and all kinds of stuff. But yeah, militarizing space, never. I'm not going to go for it.
Right. Just launch a launch spot for ships to carry our race to other planets.
Right. That's
outside of the atmosphere.
Yeah. Kind of like when you pull off of the turnpike to take a little rest. Yeah, we're going to stop at the moon, going to get a little recharge, and then we're going to go further because you're going to need to go into cryo sleep for 50 years.
Right.
But so that's our top 10 that we thought that would be interesting to cover on how we won't exist anymore.
Right. That could be the way that humans become extinct.
Right. So I enjoyed it. I hope you did. Please go out to our Facebook page and take a look and leave some comments and give us your view on what you think about maybe these top 10 that we discussed, or give us an opinion on something that we haven't covered. And share it with your friends and family, because we always want to keep this conversation open and going. So, Steve, you have anything else you want to add?
I love the comments. Please continue to put the comments up on the board.
They were really good this past time.
And we appreciate everyone for listening, and thank you so much.
Thank you all. We'll see you next time. I'm Foltz.
And I'm Steve.
We'll see you next time. Take care of one another. Bye-bye.